And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and it's great to be here with you today on this program as we come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. We stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com, and we archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page. Easy to find, just at the top on the left side are all the navigation buttons. On the right is the Listen Live link. It's about the same size as all the navigation bars buttons put together, but I intentionally did that because I didn't want you to miss a program either way, whether you listen to it live or listen to it from the archives on the website. And we'd also like to hear from you. Richard at richarddugan.com is my email. That's Richard at richarddugan.com. And would love to hear from you. Would love to hear your insights. I have to say that today's program, it's sort of a continuation of much of what we talk about on this program in terms of giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Today is no exception, simply because the woman that we are going to have on the program today deals in the law of attraction. As a matter of fact, on a tour in the States, Law of Attraction 2012. Obviously, 2012 is a big issue. That's another area that we've been talking about a great deal. And the woman we have on the line was featured in The Secret. Her name is Marie Diamond. And Marie, I want to thank you for taking time out from your very busy schedule to share this time with us.
I'm so excited to be with you and your audience, Richard.
How did you feel when you first heard about this whole concept? Or was this just something that you just knew, this is just the way it is, the law of attraction, or whatever name or label that you want to put on it, this whole universal concept. What was your feeling in that regard?
Well, I was 7 when I actually for the first time connected with this, so this is more than 40 years ago. And I was taught by a spiritual mentor, you know, that whatever I was going to visualize and how whatever I was drawing and whatever I was playing, because I was a child, that this is what I was going to attract. And so it just felt like, oh, that's normal. You know, it's like, as a child, it was like, yeah, of course, whatever I'm drawing, whatever I'm playing out in my fantasy, this is what I'm going to attract. And so I started doing exactly that. I was just drawing and visualizing and fantasizing the whole day in my play and my with my dolls and with my friends, exactly what I wanted. And, you know, I always received what I wanted. And so I would say that was a very totally like, this is me. This is everyone. This is really part of the basic aspects of the universe. So for me, it was totally normal.
And so when The Secret came along, it wasn't this big aha moment other than maybe how wonderful that now there's a format that everybody can grab onto, if you will, or embrace and use to, what, achieve their goals, get everything that they ever wanted in their lives. How did you view this particular, I'll call it modality of the law of attraction?
Well, you know, I think I actually created it. You know, I co-created, because I wrote up on my vision board, you know, 4 years before Rhonda Byrne, who's a producer, even knew about the law of attraction. I wrote on my vision board, I'm going to be in a movie that will be seen by hundreds of millions of people that will transform the world. I wrote that up, and it came down from, you know, my intuition. And I put an Oscar out, and I put my, you know, my name on it, and two things came from it. I started opening up to Hollywood, or Hollywood started opening up to me, whatever way it goes. And the second thing was, I was led to be in the Transformation Leadership Council. I attracted all these motivational speakers. I wanted me to be part of their inner circle, and that's where the movie The Secret was 60% of it shot and produced. And it was so interesting. I think I attracted that. Perhaps I even co-created this, perhaps with all the other teachers. So for me, I think it was a total, again, a very natural outcome of being interviewed. And when she asked me to be interviewed, I said, yeah, of course I'll be interviewed. I was like, yeah, of course, I have to be part of this. This is my destiny. This is what I attract. This is what I desired. This is how I wanted to be my service to be to the world. I wanted to reach hundreds of millions of people. And how can you do that if you don't have the modality like a movie to bring this forward? So when it was presented to me, I was like, yeah, there it is. So well, natural.
Right. Now, our program, we want to keep a positive spin on everything. There's no reason to get into a lot of controversy in that regard, but I have to say that many of my guests who claim to be law of attraction coaches will make the statement to me that there was something that was left out, whether it was intentionally left out or otherwise, because they run across people who say, well, I've got the secret, I've got the book, but it's not working for me, and I'm doing everything that it says I'm supposed to do. And I don't know what the 4 or 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 steps are, because I haven't gone through it methodically in that regard.
Okay.
And they say that something's missing. Mm-hmm. And I have to wonder if the secret has there been a sort of evolution over the last few years of this concept of the law of attraction, and that maybe unintentionally, unconsciously, there was a step that was left out?
Well, you know, you have to see that Rhonda produced a movie from the knowledge that she had, an experience and information she had.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you can always only look through your own glasses, you know, let's put it this way. If you're a writer or if you're a producer, that's the only way you can look at the world. So she heard all the teachers speak, and she took and produced the things from her heart, and she's an amazing, beautiful being, to bring things forward through her glasses, through her view of the world. So I can imagine, and that's why we also had all these teachers coming forward saying, you know, well, I have this spin on it, and I have this spin in it, and there's a secret behind the secret, and there's a missing link, and, you know, all these things. And I would say, from your perspective, this is a diamond. There's multiple facets to things. And so I can say, well, you know, my experience was in the law of attraction is that, you know, one-third of the law of attraction is affected by your environment. And so I pointed that out in the secret. When I was telling to the people, look, you know, what the images are around you, that affected this man's romance. And so I would say that's my extra facet of it. And I believe all the teachers, you know, they have an extra facet to bring. This was the beginning of an evolution. This was not the end product. This was just an unveiling for people to say to them, you know what, this exists. You know, try to connect with this and open your hearts and see how it evolves your life. And so I would definitely say it's not a final product. It mm-hmm. has never been the intention to have the final answer in the movie. It was the big revelation. Let's put it this way.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I find so extraordinary and intriguing about it is the fact that in the movie as well as in the book, it makes the interesting statement that you can have the things that you want in your life if you truly want them and so forth. But part of the statement that's being made is that not everybody wants the same thing. And so when you start thinking about, well, there's not enough of that one thing, that's not true.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. There's this abundance. This is, you know, the ability to connect with all these things. And so if we start thinking, no, there is not enough for me, then you're actually telling exactly, well, I'm going shopping in the shop that says there's not enough. And if you say there is enough for all of us as a collective field, then we all go shopping in the shop that says there's enough for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about how we look at the world from a different perspective. And that's what I really feel I want to bring forward now, that people have been too individualistic, even selfish, to be honest, in the law of attraction. And they have not connected in with that part of the law of attraction movie, The Secret, where at the end we say we can all of us together attract peace and attract abundance, because we have a collective field. We are unified with each other. And that's where I would say this is now the time, getting close to 2012, where we need to focus on, not just about, I want this car, and I want this money, and I want this romance. Like, let's materialize and visualize and attract all of us, that we all have this wealth. We all have the romance. We all have the peace. Because that's where we need to come together. And that's the collective law of attraction that now needs to be focused on.
Yeah. I have to say that I've been blessed in the sense that I have felt in my throughout my life, not that I have been able to cast out those words of wanting and desire of these are the things that I want in my life, and boom, they manifest. But mine has been more of an experience of I've seemed to have find myself in the right place at the right time most of my life.
Yeah. Well, it's because you're in a flow, and it's one of the things is you have to start, first of all, being grateful that you already are at the best place at the best time, even if right now it sucks around you. So you have to understand you have attracted that place, that time, at that moment. And if you accept that and be grateful, because there is something to learn from that moment, there's something to learn from the place of chaos and mess that is around you. There's something to learn from the situation. And if you are opening your eyes and your heart to that, then what happens is like you will be adjusted to be in a better place and in a better time and with better people in the future. But if you start saying, well, it's always the same way, you know, I'm always in the wrong place at the wrong time, I'm like, well, that's exactly what's going to happen. You won't be adjusted. And so you need to, first of all, start trying to feel okay. Grateful is sometimes a difficult term for some people in difficult situations, but I would say start being okay with where you are right now. And say, okay, I have something to learn from this. I accept I have created a situation. And take that responsibility, even if it's not easy. And you say, like, this is not my fault. No, it is not your fault. So it's not about somebody blaming you. Don't start blaming yourself or others. Just say, okay, somehow I ended up here. And the only thing that is in common between me and everything else in my life is me. So I have to understand this is where I am right now. Okay, I accept a reason I'm here, and I'm actually going to move from here to a better place. But if you start blaming where you are right now, then you won't get to the better place.
Yeah, it's kind of like the analogy some use when a gentleman comes up and says, you know, I've been divorced 7 times and every single one of my wives were the problem.
Yeah.
And it's like, really?
Yeah, with the common factor. Huh?
They weren't the common denominator in your 7 marriages.
Yeah.
But that's a hard one to take a look at sometimes.
It is. And it's not about blaming, but about saying, okay, you know, this is where I am right now.
Yeah,
and I'm moving from here forward, and don't look too much at the past because you cannot change the past anyhow. It's hard. You try, it doesn't work. So you say, okay, I'm here right now. It sucks. Okay, it sucks. Wonderful. I move from here, and it's good if you go from that experience because you know all the teachers from The Secret, for example, we actually checked that out. You know, 95% of them were at a certain moment bankrupt or homeless. Okay, so they were in a situation where it really was not fun in their life. And at a certain moment, they had to come to that experience of like, you know what, it is what it is. I'm right here, right now, I accept this, and I move forward. And they all had to do that. And because of that, you know, we can look back and say, you know, I was grateful I was homeless. I was grateful I was bankrupt. I was grateful I was divorced. I was grateful going through this major health issues because it was a turning point for me. It was a wake-up call for me, a wake-up call that there's a better life to choose from and a better experience to choose from. And it's all about the choice you make. You know, what is the choice in your feelings and the choice in your thoughts? I mean, everyone goes through difficult times. What is your choice in how you experience that difficult time by saying, you know what, I'm worth it, or that's my value, or do you say, you know, well, thank you for this experience. I will learn something from it. And once you learn something from it, you will never go back into the situation. That's the whole plan of the universe. Once you learned why you had gone through this experience, what you had to learn from it, you will never go back in a similar situation.
Well, definitely good words to live by in that respect. And that's what we're about here on this program, of course, is providing people with choices and the knowledge of those choices. When I share that with people, sometimes they go, well, what are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense. And so I use the analogy, you are walking in the fog. You're staying to the right side of the road, and you stay to the right side of the road, not even realizing that you're going past a fork. But if that fog were to lift, you'd see that you could go off to the left.
Yep.
But unless you know it's there, you can't choose it. And that's why I'm such a strong advocate of not a reforming of the educational system, but a complete rebuilding to where people, I mean, they talk about broadening your horizons with education. They talk about how you have more choices when you have a foundation of math and science and reading and all of the basics. Well, those are elements that give you the choices, and that's all we're trying to do here.
Well, I think it's important indeed to understand that there's a much broader perspective on everything. And, you know, lucky are the kids right now, like my kids, that have normal education, but they also are educated spiritually and consciously at home, where they are learning from childhood on, okay, you know, this, you cannot say this, or you cannot think this way, or you have to think it this way, or try to approach it differently, and then you will attract something differently. So it's a great a gift for your children today that you can, because as parents, you are part of the education, of course, you know, daily. And I'm sure the more consciousness that is coming, the more also perhaps the classical form of education will open up to be more conscious. I totally believe that will happen, because the more people are getting this transformation within themselves, the more institutions and organizations are in a plan of transforming. And that's what I believe 2012 and the world beyond 2012, as I call it, is actually happening. But in order to do that, we need to create a collective force. We need to create a collective visualization for that and a focus on it, because that is what we need to do. It's again, the time of, you know, I attract is wonderful, but we are now in a time we have to state we attract. You know, we attract this, not just me personally, but, you know, we are responsible also for what has happened so far in the world, and we need to kind of adjust ourselves and say, is this what we want? You know, is this really what we choose for the next generation, the next 10 years, the next year even? Is that what we choose? And so we have to align ourselves. And so that's what, you know, I really want to bring in the Law of Attraction 2012. It's like, guys, there are tools, there are principles how to align yourself, you know, energetically, so that even if you're not there, you can actually connect with each other in spirit. You can connect with each other in an energetic level to together attract a better world.
And that's what we're working towards, is a better world. I think that one of the challenges, though, is whose better world?
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's where we need to, we have, thank God now, the internet, where we can listen and see, and we have the possibilities to connect in with people all over the world. I mean, I myself have the ability to connect in, because through my work, I have students in more than 180 countries. So I hear a lot of sounds. I hear a lot of words. I hear a lot of visions. And, you know, all of them, they only have one thing in common, and that's they want to feel happy. You know, they want to feel happiness for themselves and their children, whatever happiness means for them in their personal culture or their personal lives or in their country. They all just want to be happy. And so they want to have a happy life in a happy family and a happy home. And so that's where we see that experience needs to come forward. And, of course, we will all kind of bring it in a different aspect a little bit forward. But I think the ground feeling is we all want to feel joyful and happy. That's the common denominator.
I know that one of the questions I've asked, and it sprang more from an experience that I had, than anything else. And it was sort of codified down as the ultimate question, the why are we here? But actually, it was maybe not quite so deep. And it was more, what are we as human beings here on this earth to achieve? Because it doesn't seem like we've achieved much of anything in the, I don't know, several thousand or 100,000. I don't know how long we've really been here. I mean, nobody who is alive today was there back then when humanity first set foot on the earth. You know, and I'm not necessarily advocating, say, the building of the Tower of Babel, because, well, we kind of saw how that went. But that's kind of the question, is what is it that we are here to achieve? Now, you've kind of answered that question.
I think it is true, and, you know, I do believe we were here, you know, hundreds of thousands of millions of years. You know, our soul was here, our spirit was here. You know, perhaps we were not there with our mind, and we don't remember this. But there is, in the collective vibration of the earth, there is a memory of, you know, where we are, and we can connect with that vibration. And I truly believe, and I've studied, you know, intensely anthropology and history and, you know, over all the ages that I could, over and so many different ancient energy systems, and it's all there. It's like people just want to experience, you know, how it is to feel heaven on earth, to have a moment where their spirit and their body unites itself, that love is felt in their heart. They all are searching, all the mystical schools are searching to reconnect with the spirit, to open up the hearts. And so when you open up the heart, that's where the love and the happiness is. So I believe that's what we are ultimately here to do, and sooner than later is better, of course. But I see this transformation is happening right now. I mean, that's, I believe, the secret was a part of that opening up. And as I still today, you know, get sometimes 200-300 emails per day from everywhere in the world of people saying, thank you for the secret and thank you for this. And so I'm like, wow, these people are connecting worldwide with each other, and they all have read one similar book, one similar concept, the law of attraction. They're like, okay, we start making better choices. I mean, that's what they are asking. Can you help me in making a better choice to be more happy, or in my relationship, or in my body, or, you know, in my mind because I'm getting crazy, or, you know, or in my career, or with my money level? They all just want to feel happy. And that's the experience I have, and that I'm still working on with them, and I'm trying to answer as many emails personally, because so that they know, you know, there is someone that perhaps, I don't know, knows a little bit more. You know, I don't know if I know a lot more, but just a little bit more, have experiences a little bit longer, that it's possible. That it's possible to attract that happiness and to live that happiness in your heart and to feel the joy. I mean, that's what you're trying to bring forth, Richard, in your work, I'm sure, is that to open up people's eyes, to open up their hearts, to let them listen differently to things and to say, well, you know, I can actually have a different life. But the only thing I need to do is I need to open up. I need to open up, and I need to listen and see that there's another possibility of living. And I don't have to be sad all the time and depressed all the time. I don't have to feel lonely all the time. I just can say, well, you know, I'm open to something else. I'm open to the romance. I'm opening to the abundance. And the moment you get open to it, but you have to stay open. That's a critical point. So in the beginning, your ball of negative energy that you have created of being so depressed and so in chaos is a little bit larger than your positive thought that you have at that moment. So you have to keep being a little bit disciplined. You have to master a little bit that feeling and every day make that choice and say, look, you know, even if it's so hard and I don't see the end of the tunnel yet, I know there's an end of the tunnel. I'm getting there. I believe I'm getting there. Even if the odds are playing against you, and even if it doesn't look like this, just keep saying and keep being in that, I am open to happiness. And as you're doing that, what happens is, you know, vibrations start changing, you start attracting other things, and there's the little signs that are coming. And when this little sign starts coming, and it can be the butterfly you see, it can be, you know, suddenly a flower you get or a little gift you get, you know, don't say, well, it's not the BMW I wanted. I said, no, well, it's not a BMW, but you already got a little sign that, you know, there's something transforming. Mm-hmm. It's not the romance I wanted. No, but hey, you're invited to a barbecue that from people you don't know. You never know what's going on there. So when the sign starts coming, you have to pick up the sign and say, thank you, thank you. And you just move forward and accept the little gifts, because it shows there's an adjustment happening from where you are right now to where you really desire to go.
Absolutely. Marie Diamond is my guest, and we're talking about the Law of Attraction and The Secret. And you can certainly get in touch with her through her website, mariediamond.com. That's mariediamond.com. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. Stay tuned. As we continue our understanding of Marie Diamond, our guest here on Tell Me Your Story, mariediamond.com. We are linked to her website as well at richarddugan.com. We're archiving these programs. This one will be available following the broadcast, and you'll be able to listen to it and also connect with her and maybe get an insight as to what is going on in your life. I know, Marie, that, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, the things that we want. I mean, you kind of went down a sort of a material laundry list, if you will, of the things that we want. And it turns out that those are nice, but it's not really what we want. And the whole question of what is it we're trying to achieve here. And that is, I get the answer from a lot of folks, such as yourself, joy. Joy is the one word that seems to sum it all up. And I find that interesting, too, especially when I talk to people about the concepts of the oneness of the place where we came from. And this is kind of going back to a lot of the ancient wisdom teachings. The duality in which we live today, also spoken of in the ancient wisdom teachings, and the oneness that we are going to return to, again, also talked about in the ancient wisdom teachings. And so I raise the question, well, if we're coming from the oneness and we're going to the oneness, what is the point of all this silliness with the duality? Because when you say, what are we here to achieve? Joy. Well, to me, joy, or if you even want to use the word love, it's like people want to create opposites. They want to create the counterparts. And it's like, why?
Well, you know, one of the things that I have experienced through my spiritual aha moments, I would say, is that, you know, we had the joy in the beginning of the oneness, but we were unconscious experiencing the joy. That means we did not know where it was coming from. It was just present. And so it's like when you have like a child and, you know, your child is joyful and the child gets everything, it doesn't know where it's coming from. It has not had to do anything to get it because it was just present. It didn't appreciate that joy and all the things that were around it because it was just present and there. And I believe the whole, I would say, reason for the involution, evolution of the world is that we had to become conscious of that presence in us, that presence, that divine being that we are, that says, you know, you can actually create joy. Because let's put it this way, when it was in oneness, it was created for us, okay? But we were not able to create it ourselves. And so the whole silliness that you're saying, where we're going to go to all these problems, is that we have to become aware that we are the creators of the joy. And then once you know how to create, that the ultimate joy of oneness will be even more spectacular and more fabulous, because then we have become the awareness and conscious creator of the joy. And so that, I think, is what happens with people that have gone through, you know, a life, and they like have lived their life or have been lived by life, but they were not present in their life. And so then they are waking up because of a problem or a conflict or a disaster that happens, and they wake up and they're like, well, now you have the possibility to create it yourself. And I have to tell you, it is much more deep and experienced and fun and loving if you know how to create yourself the joy. Because once you create the joy in yourself, you are actually able to stimulate and inspire others to be in that joy too. So in that beginning oneness, I would call it this way, because in quantum physics field there is no beginning or ending, but let's make it linear right now, You know, the things we were just accepting, joy was there. But we also were not able to inspire others to be in that joy because we didn't think as it was so special. Now we know it is special to be happy and to be joyful and to have all the attributes connected with it. But we also can inspire others. And that's what, once you know the secret, you know, once you know how it works, you know, the only thing you can do is inspire others. That's why at this moment, so many people that get awake, they actually, the only thing they want to do is inspire others. And so that's why we have so much coaches and teachers out there now. And we still need more because there's still so many people that need to become awake. So we haven't reached that tipping point of inspiration yet, but I think it's definitely happening right now.
And that's interesting because we have over 7 billion people on the planet, and yet there are more and more teachers as we are starting to see them. I mean, they're popping up everywhere, you know, and that is a wonderful thing. And in essence, and this was a rather funny thing that happened to me when I first started doing this program just over 4 years ago. And I received a criticism from a gentleman who says, you know, you have these different people on and they're all saying the same stuff. Oh, we're all one. We're all with God and we're all this and that and the other. And he was just very cynical, to which I replied, well, then don't you think maybe there's a point? I mean, really?
Yeah, well, it was so interesting when 9 years ago I immigrated to America from Belgium. I'm a Belgian citizen. I came here and I ended up in San Francisco, and I remember several people saying, but Marie, what are you coming to do? We have enough of people like you, you know? And I was like, yeah, but I think I have a different way to say certain things. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole point. You know, you are a certain taste of ice cream, and I have a different taste of ice cream, and I'm vanilla. You know, I don't know what you are.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, apparently, I will attract people that love vanilla. And, of course, other tastes too. But I just want to say the way I'm saying things and the way how I perceive it, you know, will be different than what you perceive. But, you know, the people that need to get inspired through my perception will be attracted to me. And so there is enough for everyone, but there's also need for a lot of perceptions because we're still different, you know, in looking at all the things. But one of the things I was so happy about when, after I started doing and bringing forward my teachings, when I found out there were others out there too, because I was not aware of that at that time. And then when I met and became friends and connected with the peers of the transformation, I was like, I'm so joyful. I'm so joyful. There's so many others. I'm so joyful that every day, you know, more people feel like I have to do this because we need so much more because there is that tipping point is not reached. Perhaps you could say, well, perhaps in California. Yeah, but I can't tell you in other places of America, perhaps not. Or there will, again, another perception, more connect with that culture or that. So it's all about that at this moment, this transformation is happening and that the impact that we're having is crucial. And that's what we together need to work on, that we need to align our forces even more to, and the force of the heart even more to align ourselves and to understand that, you know, be joyful for the other person that is doing the same work or a similar work or just don't judge it. Because if you judge it, you're, first of all, judging yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to go there. But just be joyful, like, oh, my God, they are doing something similar. I have the best friends in this field. And the thing is, we're always joyful for each other's and for each other's support and for each other's clientele and for each other's public, because we know you are reaching someone, you are transforming somebody's life at that moment. And if you feel you're inspired to do this, well, I would say, what is holding you back?
Mm. Yeah. And those are the things that we are, this is part of getting to know ourselves a little bit better, and that is getting in touch with those things that are holding us back.
Totally. And
yeah.
You know, when I started doing this work, and I'm already, you know, working almost 20 years in this field, and I started at 31. I mean, I was a very successful lawyer in Europe. And so for me, you know, going out to people and say, well, I just shifted my perception. I'm going to teach now meditation and feng shui and law of attraction. And they looked at me and I was like totally nuts. You know, let's be honest, how would you do that from being a very successful lawyer in the government, you know, moving to that field? And then, but the thing was no stopping me. I couldn't keep doing what I was doing. Even though I did great work at that time, there was something else that got me inspired to move forward. And so you see a lot of people right now, they are doing certain, you know, work, and it has been a stepping stone for them to learn certain things about themselves and about the world. And then they're feeling like, I need to adjust, I need to do something else. Well, this is the time. Mm-hmm. You know, you just need to move forward and trust yourself. Don't go with the stream. I didn't go with the stream. I would have become, I'm sure, a very wonderful judge in the European system. You know, I would have done great work, I'm sure. But it was not the stream. I felt another stream of energy in me. And so I went another direction. And so perhaps against the stream of society at that time, you know?
Yeah.
But I just went my flow. And that's what everyone has to find and feel. And then you have to connect in with others. That collective experience is definitely that oneness experience, but oneness in a way of now that you're not longer a school of fish that kind of follows a certain wave in the world, but that we become a circle of conscious, enlightened leaders, each one of us working on our own enlightenment, but then also have a circle of conscious leaders that are working together in manifesting and supporting each other's work. That's actually what I felt compelled to really bring forward, as I've worked with a lot of the leaders. You know, I've advised and coached a lot of the top leaders also in the self-help industry that are my clients in the entertainment, in the 500 Fortune companies. I've worked with a lot of the leaders, and they, I have to be honest, in the corporate world, sometimes they are a little bit more advanced in collective connection and working together sometimes than the spiritual and the self-help world, because it's so important. We need to align our hearts. We need to align our spirit. We need to align our visions to make sure we create an amazing vision for the world and manifest it.
Who is Marie Diamond?
Well, you know, I would say, first of all, I'm a mother, and I have three kids, so that's always my first part. I'm a mother, and I also am a mother for the world. So I feel like I came on this planet to support not just my children to become amazing men and women, is one girl and two boys, but also to support all of you to become that enlightened leader that you are. That is what came very strongly after a near-death experience when I was 16. I came from the other realms, and it was said to me, you are here to enlighten more than 500 million people. And that has been my purpose since my 15.
And what do you hope to, or do you that you want to achieve through the work you're doing?
Well, I hope to achieve, first of all, personal transformation for you, but also I want to perceive global transformation. And I've been connected with people at times of energy shifts in their countries. I've worked with a lot of political leaders too, behind the scenes, where they were just on the edge that they had to support a collective change for their country or their corporation or their industry. But I also saw, first of all, you need to do personal transformation. But whatever your personal transformation is, it needs to align with the greater good. That's the whole purpose. If you just think, well, it's just about me, then we are not on the right track. It is about we. Through you, we create that bigger field, a bigger field of happiness. And so that's my real focus for 2012.
And people can get in touch with you through your website, mariediamond.com.
Yeah, and also the lawofattraction2012.com.
Yeah, right.
So there's two websites that they can go and connect with.
Wonderful. Now, before we close the program, is what is spoken of, and even the title, The Secret, it just seems to me that was a little misleading, because it really isn't a secret. I think that the way that we think about it is sort of hidden from us.
Well, I think it was a secret for billions of people.
Okay.
I would say it was known to ancient groups. It was known to some groups of society, the more inner circles, were always aware of that secret. But I felt always that they kept it sacred. So the word secret and sacred originally comes from the word sacred, and it actually means it's too holy to share. It's too much. Holy means it's the wholeness. It's too overwhelming to share. It's too big to share. And I believe that it was secret because for most people, they could not even open their minds to such an experience or such a technique almost of the law of attraction, such a principle. So because they were so in the density and the gravity of their life, they could not even see beyond the possibilities that they were experiencing right now. So I would say, yes, it was a secret, but it was, I don't think intentionally. I've never believed that there was an intention behind it, but it was because it was felt that, you know, you needed to be ready and opening up yourself to hear the secret. So I believe the world is ready and the world is open and the world can hear it now.
Well, we are certainly grateful for your coming on the program and sharing with us your understanding and your vision, if you will.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having me, and I wish all of you a very happy day today.
Thank you. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story. My guest has been Marie Diamond, and she is connected with the Law of Attraction and the Secret. You can go to the lawofattraction2012.com or mariediamond.com and check out her information. And we are also linked to you as well, Marie. And again, I thank you so much for joining us. Until next Saturday at this same time, love to law.